I'm happy to be back with my teammates and, you know, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers, Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION, and Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews hanging out with the All-American, National Champion, and former Atlanta Falcons offensive line. He played all five positions across the offensive line, played tight end, and even caught a touchdown against the Saints in the Superdome. It is Mike Johnson hanging out with me as we are broadcasting live from Atlanta Falcons training camp. Everybody's starting to peel out now as practice has ended. The fans are heading out. A lot of them are catching the shuttles back to their cars, catching the golf cart rides back to their cars, and things are starting to break down here. We still got an hour left to hang out with you, though, as we're taking you up until 1 o'clock. We were just joined, and thank you again so much to Chris Lindstrom, Falcons Pro Bowl, All-Pro right guard, for hanging out with us. And, Mike, I want to pick your brain. Obviously, you and Chris have a lot in common as offensive linemen. I want
to
pick your brain.
I tried not to get too fat boy savvy. I was like, man, I'm not going to go too deep into the weeds as far as this goes, but – I had to ask a few questions.
I've said it a couple times in the show. Mike had that look in his eye. He was trying to hold back on not going too far into the weeds. But, it was great stuff. And, again, thank you so much to Chris Lindstrom for hanging out with us for a few minutes. But, Mike, I want to get your take on what was the biggest takeaway from what Lindstrom had to say there.
You know, I think my biggest takeaway from the interview was actually what he didn't say. And I think too many times – and I used to hate this as a player, and I am guilty of it as a media personality – where you're always looking for the different new things that they don't do. And I have been, and I still feel this way, but it was interesting to hear it coming out of his mouth. I talk all the times about how our guards, even though they are suited for it, and Chris Lindstrom is very much suited for it, we use less pulling guards in this offense maybe than any other offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
We don't run power. We don't run trap. We don't run counter. We don't run the things that other offenses inside of the NFL run. And I'm curious to see if that evolves this year with Michael Penix, quarterback. But asking him and having him dive right back into what Dwayne Ledford has meant to his career and how perfectly suited Chris Lindstrom is to run wide zone. It's what our offense is based off of, right? The quickness, the communication. And you heard him mention it. He talked about the communication with him and Ryan Neusel,
yep.
The communication with him and Keelan McGarry, coming off the down lineman, climbing to the linebackers, and how – their superpower as an offensive line here in Atlanta is playing fast. And I think sometimes we forget that. I am guilty of that as well. You forget that is the bread and butter. You have what I would consider, and most people consider, this is a top 10 offensive line.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I wish they would show at least a little bit of pulling guard. I think if you did that, you could utilize pulling guards and pass protection and other things like that. You wouldn't have to just go straight drop back all the time in your pass pro. But now, with Michael Penix, the quarterback, you expect to see a little bit of bootleg, waggle, half waggle, things like that, setting up in the pocket. And I think talking to him was just a nice reminder of we're good at wide zone because we run a lot of wide zone. We don't have to spend much time running power. And it's not just people think just installing a power play or installing a counter play is just drawing up a play and saying, hey, you've got to pull. No, it's identifying the front. You've got to identify blocks on the front side. You've got to communicate all the way back down the line of scrimmage. Are you blocking the end of the line of scrimmage? Are you blocking a blitzer? Are you blocking the first off-ball linebacker? Are you pulling up in the A gap? Are you pulling up in the B gap? There's so many other things that go into that that you have to spend a lot of time on certain plays as an offensive lineman all the way across the board. God forbid, in the middle of that and all that install, somebody gets hurt. Now you've got you have another body coming in that you have to explain things to and hit the ground running with that. So it was a nice reminder from him just saying, we do what we do, and we're good at what we do because we do it all the time. And I think it was a gentle way of him being like, just chill out. This is what – look, there's a reason he's paid $20 million a year because he's really good at wide zone, and they're not asking him to do much other than that. So it is, man. We have to quit asking for more and focus on what they're actually doing. And I think that was a good reminder.
Yeah, it's kind of like he was saying, you know, it ain't broke, so we ain't going to fix it, and we ain't going to try and venture too far out from. It's kind of like, this is our bag,
yep.
This is our body, and we're going to stay in our bag, kind of going to stay in our lane and do what we do and when we know it's effective. So, I think that was good as well. And I just have to say, just real quick, I was enthused that he was a Mario Kart World
guy. I know. He was, too.
I'm
over here asking him the nerdy football stuff, and, boy, you bring up, like, Xbox, and he's like, oh, what's up? Like, I thought he was going to stand up from the table.
I know.
He was stoked about it, man.
I loved it.
I love to see it,
too. So maybe one of these days, once I get the Mario Kart 2 and I the Nintendo Switch 2 and I get that Mario Kart World, maybe we can hop on a game together. We'll see. But, anywho, no, it was great to hear from Chris Lindstrom, and it was really cool to hear the two of them talking about just the – how it was good to get all those reps that he's gotten, all the banked reps that he got with Ryan Neusel, but how far he sits to, hey, there's still a lot we can do, and there's still a lot of communication that we can do. And even, too, when he even built on going on top of that, the cadence of Michael Penix Jr. to where, like, I never even thought about it this way, where he was like, it's not just about knowing when he's going to think he's going to say hut, but even when he thinks, well, he said it, you know, when Michael, when the snap count is supposed to be on one, but Michael, you can tell within his inflection, he thinks it's on too. Like, yeah. I just thought that was really interesting.
The flip-flop is the funny part because the quarterbacks will fix it immediately, and it's just funny. And to give the people out there listening kind of the first hut, if you're on two, is always louder. You're trying to draw the guy offside. So if your quarterback is – Matt Ryan was so good at this. Quarterback steps up and you're going on two. He said, hut, right? If Michael Penix walks up to the line and he's like – in the huddle, he says it's on two, and then he steps at the line of scrimmage and goes, said, hut. Hut, you know, like going back to the huddle, you're like, you thought that was on one, didn't you? He's like, hell yeah, when the ball didn't fly back there, I was like, oh man, I got to say it one more time. So yeah, I mean, it's those small things. You always want to err on the side of it being on two if there's a question about it. And so I thought that was funny, man, how he was talking about how, you know, when he's sitting around, he can kind of hear the cadence in his brain of Michael Penix, and that is. I cannot explain to people listening how massive of a part that is of an offense. And I brought up the Kirk Cousins cadence to him against Pittsburgh. Of you have motions that you're trying to time with hard counts, and T.J. Watt's picking it apart, and you're in week one, and you can't seem to time it up, and lots going on. It's a huge part of what you do. You have to give your linemen a head-up opportunity to make sure that they're getting off the ball before the defensive line. So, love hearing that from him about the cadence and really all the workings in the backfield right now.
I want to ask you this, too. I didn't get a chance to ask Chris this, but I want to ask you this because, again, you played offensive line. You played every position across the offensive line. We've made a lot about Caleb McGarry, and for good reason, because he is protecting Michael Penix's blind side now. That doesn't really – does that matter at all for Chris Lindstrom that, you know, Michael Penix Jr. is a lefty, or with him on the interior, is that not that big of a factor?
It won't matter for Chris Lindstrom being at right guard. I think it's overplayed. Yeah. I think a lot of it used to be made about blindside, this, that, and the other. I think that, look, it's going to be a thought process. But if you're getting hit in the mouth or hit in the back, it really ain't going to matter that much. I know that people look at it and go, well, you ought to be able to see it coming. If Michael Penix is left-handed, but he's reading the right side of the field, he's going to see if somebody beats Caleb McGarry, right? If they're on the left hash and he's reading – kind of a flood concept where there's three receivers going towards the sideline on the right side of the field, he's better off knowing that he's getting beat on the right side. He's still going to get hit in the side of the helmet if Jake Matthews gets beat on the left side. So it's a little bit overblown. It's probably only 20% of what people make of it. But there is something to it. You want to be able to see, you want to know he's protecting the ball right. If the offensive line is getting beat. It's just, it doesn't really help you if you're looking right. And the guy gets beat on the left, it's the same as looking left and getting beat on the right. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things that's probably overblown in terms of people watching the game.
There you go. All right, we are going to catch a quick break here, but still got plenty more to get into. When we come back here about 5 minutes from now, we will let you hear a little bit more from Jake Matthews, Ryan Neusel. We'll let you hear from a little bit from Arthur Blank as well. So he had some interesting things to say on NFL Network with Steve Weiss yesterday. So we'll get to some of that as we continue broadcasting live from Atlanta Falcons training camp here at Flowery Branch after day four of Atlanta Falcons training camp has concluded. We'll still taking you up until 1 p.m., though. It is your boy Dylan Matthews alongside the former Atlanta Falcon, Mike Johnson, right here on Sports Radio, 99 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I'm happy to be back with my teammates and, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers, Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION, and Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews hanging out with the former Atlanta Falcon, Mikey P, Mike Johnson, as we are live from Atlanta Falcons training camp here in Flowery Branch. Day 4 of training camp practice has concluded. People are wrapping things up. People are heading out. The food trucks are packing up now, and things are starting to quiet down here after another great day of practice, another great turnout by the fans. So shout out to everybody that has been here, was here today. I mean, these turnouts have just been absolutely amazing. When we had Chris Lindstrom on at the top of the hour, he talked about how these days can be hard, and it's hot out here, and they're practicing hard, losing a whole bunch of pounds, like you said, Mike, close to 10, 11 pounds a day. And Chris Lindstrom was saying that having 5,000 fans out here just helps him and the rest of the team get through it. So first and foremost, shout out to y'all for showing up and showing out here all throughout Atlanta Falcons training camp. Y'all have been absolutely amazing, and it's been a pleasure to broadcast for y'all.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to be anything new. I mean, we talked about the crowd that was out here last Thursday, obviously Saturday. I mean, yeah, to the point where Raheem and Terry are actually addressing the hill on the microphone and talking about things and hyping things up. Arthur Blank talked about it in his interaction with NFL Network and a number of other media outlets yesterday when he was out here. The fans are excited, man.
Yes.
And I talked about it earlier. It just goes to show you that this team feels, and I'm not going to say we know, this team feels like it's headed in the right direction, and there's a lot to be said about the hype that can surround the Atlanta Falcons. You remember last year when Raheem brought Matt Ryan in to talk to the team, and it was right before he let Matt Ryan know he was going to the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And Matt said, man, when you are good, this city comes alive. And I think there's so much to be said about that, because I was here for many years with Matt Ryan, and being able to see when this city wakes up and gets after it. I think I put out a tweet before the 2012 NFC Championship, and I put out a tweet from my hotel room, like, the city just feels alive.
Yeah.
And I turn on NFL Network before the game, and I can see my tweet rolling at the bottom of the screen. It's like, you know, guard Mike Johnson tweets, the city feels alive. And I was like, I do. Like, there's just something about this Falcons fanhood that this franchise has had its ups and downs, but we all come together for times like this, can root this team on and try to get this squad to the next level, and it feels like they're headed that direction.
Yeah, and I'll just expound upon that just real quick before we move on. I wasn't in media, I wasn't in radio until 2018, and but I've been a Falcons fan all my life, and when I remember 2010 and I remember 2014, 2012, it is, when the Falcons are good and they're making a playoff run, there is a different buzz. There is a different feel to this city. Everybody is talking about the Falcons. 2016, obviously, too, when they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, it just feels different throughout. Honestly, I don't even want to limit to the city. It feels different throughout the entire state.
Yeah.
When the Falcons are good. I mean, that's just how much this fan base gets behind the team when this team gives them something to root for, and I think they'll give them something to root for this season as well, and hopefully they can break that again long playoff drought. We do have a little bit of news to get to as far as what happened and guys that did not practice for the Falcons today, and so this coming courtesy of D. Orlando Lambetta. What's up, guys? So he said this quote, they are working, and this is what Jeff Ulbrich had to say on Jalen Walker, who did not practice today. Jeff Ulbrich said this quote, they are working on some stuff with his body. So, Mike, obviously with you being a player, you've gone through rehab and all those things. What, if you had to kind of interpret that as far as Jeff Ulbrich's words on they are working on it, they're working on his body today, what does that mean?
Well, I've been trying to go back and forth in my own brain, try to sort that out. It could mean a couple of different things. First of all, did he come in with a lingering issue into training camp? Probably. There's probably a shoulder or a knee or a hip or whatever it may be that's lingering just a little bit. I would be willing to guess that this was a pre-scheduled deal. Maybe this was already something going, hey, we don't want him to go on back-to-back days. Today would have been the first back-to-back practice. They did not practice live on Friday. They did walkthrough style. But maybe there is a little fluid on a knee. Maybe there is a little bit of soreness in his shoulder. You don't want him to practice on back-to-back days just yet. And I think him being a 15th overall pick, we look at Jalen Walker and we say, man, 15th overall pick, got to rush the passer. The sack numbers have to come up for this team if they're going to be able to do a lot of the same things they want to be able to do and get to the playoffs. But Jalen Walker is an investment as a 15th overall pick. So you have that little bit of upkeep that you want. I mean, let's just look no further than the Atlanta Braves and A.J. Smith-Shawver, Spencer Schwellenbach, and Grant Holmes. The guys are going to be starters for years and years to come. And then if you don't take care of them in the immediate, then it kind of falls off. And there's the elbow fatigue, the shoulder fatigue, and things like that. And so I would have to guess. I don't know this for sure. I'd have to guess that Jalen Walker was already pre-scheduled for a day off. I think there was some other reports out there from Taren Wack that from Falcons.com that Zach Harrison was also a guy that was not present during a lot of the drills today. So we'll see. But maybe they're both under the same kind of game plan of saying, hey, look, we're not going to put too much stressors on them. Maybe they came in with some kind of injury and let off training camp that way, and we're just trying to be smart about the way we go about our business.
So we'll see how that develops. If that's a thing that, again, lingers and maybe becomes a trend, you hope not. And like you said, Mike, it could just be a scheduled thing, and then we'll obviously keep an eye on Zach Harrison too. I did want to bring this up because I was obviously looking through all the Twitters of the different Falcons media members looking for some different insights and little nuggets that came out of Falcons training camp today. One thing that I did see, and shout out to Mark Ramondi because he was putting out some quotes from Jeff Ulbrich. Jeff Ulbrich addressing the media after practice today. Ulbrich did say that after James Pierce got into those skirmishes, he made three or four great plays. So James Pierce, that's good to know. After he got into little skirmishes, he not only was talking the talk, but he was walking the walk out there today too.
I gotta let you in on some insight too. The way I was watching practice on Thursday. Now we just talked about how I was texting Abe about, hey, I want to know this, yeah. I want to see this, I want you to look at this, I want personnel this, that, and the other. Sometimes when I'm watching practice, I get so caught up into the substitutions, right, and the guys running on the field, the guys running off the field. I talked to Abe about the secondary and some of the pieces coming in and out, and it's like, oh, you know, there was a rotation, this and the other. I was standing next to Josh Kendall, who we had on the show earlier from The Athletic, and Josh and I were talking about Billy Bowman being on the field, and I kind of wandered off from Josh, and I'm looking at the rotation, and he's 5 yards away, and he kind of comes over to me and leans into me. He goes, hey, was James Pierce talking trash to Caleb McGarry on that? And I'm looking at the other side of the field, looking at player rotation, substitution, and I was like, oh, I don't know, man. I was like, I don't know. I was like, I didn't see any of that. I'm looking across the field trying to decide who's coming in, who's going out. I wasn't really looking at the pass rush or Caleb McGarry. And I looked at Josh, and I said, hey, but if he was, do you like that? And he was like, I was about to ask you the same question. He was like, I don't know. And first of all, let's just put this out there. It takes a lot of grit. It takes a lot of cojones,
yes.
I guess we'll say.
Testicular fortitude
to come out as a rookie in a training camp and to talk trash to a guy like Caleb McGarry, yeah, of all things, that you know is probably not going to back down from throwing a few hands. But I think there is some of that that I like. Now, as an offensive lineman, did I like it? No. Did I like you talking trash as a rookie passer? Absolutely not. But I think on this side of it, as a fan and a media member, I look at it and go, you know what, man? If you're going to do it and you're going to back it up in the following five plays, then I kind of love it. I think Falcons fans will probably feel the same way. And also, look, man, it kind of – Chris Lindstrom talked about the fans being out here and how it gets kind of monotonous as you move from one period to the next and, you know, one day to the next. Throw a little spice in things in front of a crowd, start throw some hands here and there. You'll wake up.
Oh,
you'll,
yeah,
wake up in a hurry, man. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. And while we're on this topic of the intensity – of practice and the little skirmishes here and there, Jake Matthews, he was part of a scrum yesterday addressing the media, and he actually talked about the intensity being the theme of these first few practices, and that continued today. And I think it's interesting because, you know, you, Mike, just talked about how as an offensive lineman, when you were playing, you didn't like a rookie, you know, chirping at you, but I bet it probably made you play harder, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
So, you know, it's not only James Pierce maybe hyping himself up, but he's making the other guys play hard as well too. So, again, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to be able to walk the walk, and it sounds like James Pierce was walking the walk as well. So let's hear from Jake Matthews talking about intensity being the theme of these first few practices.
That's definitely been the message to the defense, and I think it's amazing. I think it's great. I mean, it's a win-win thing. We get to work against guys who are really good and trying to take our heads off, basically, and we're trying to do the same thing to them. So it's only going to make us better. We've definitely added a lot of talent over there, and it's made practice really competitive, and I'm enjoying it, man. I think the future is really bright for us.
There you go. I mean, you got to love to hear that. And, again, when you talk about the intensity of these practices, guys playing hard. And, again, you don't want it to go past a certain line. There's that line where you're like, okay, now this is just getting a little ridiculous. But, hey, again, if the skirmishes are going to get the fans going, like you said, wake the players up because the fans are getting going, there's no harm in it.
Well, and I think, too, you know, listening to Jake talk about the business-like attitude that this team has gone about their business with, and I kind of made a joke about it on Friday. Kind of, you know, looked at things that were going on at other practices, and I mentioned the Dallas Cowboys where Dak's kind of going through a drill and he's kind of riding a broomstick.
Yeah.
And you're like, That is energy, but to me that's the wrong energy.
Yeah.
It's a playful energy.
Right.
I want the energy to be businesslike. I want it to be a competitive energy the way we've seen out here for the Atlanta Falcons. And I think so many times, and we're probably guilty of this as well, Raheem Morris kind of takes the field, and you love, you know, the players coach Raheem Morris, and you love the way he talks, and you love the bravado, and you love this, that, and the other. When it comes down to it, you've got to get your work done. We can talk about being comfortable in the locker room and being able to be comfortable in your skin as players all we want to, but if you don't go out on the field and actually put that effort out on the field or have that translate to, you know, getting your business done out here, then it's not going to be worth anything in the end. And so I think what Jake is just pointing to is, hey, man, this has been energetic. It's been fun, but it's also been competitive and of a competitive nature with everybody that's been out here on the field. And so I think that's been enjoyable for a lot of people so far.
Absolutely. I mean, when you have that intensity on the field, and again, it's at a good level and it's at a good point, the fans are going to feed off of that, and the players feed off of that fan energy as well, like Chris Lindstrom was talking about with us earlier. It is your boy Dylan Matthews and Mikey P. Mike Johnson, former Atlanta Falcon, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want to switch gears a little bit here, Mike, while we got a couple minutes left in this segment. We're getting updates. Jeff Olbrich addressed the media after practice, and we're getting some good tweets here. And this is one coming from Mark Raimondi, obviously Falcons beat writer for ESPN. And this is what Jeff Olbrich had to say during his post-practice press conference. He said this, quote, "What we're doing on defense is going to be much different than last year." I feel great when I hear that, Mike. I feel really good about that because obviously we know what was going on with Jimmy Lake at the beginning of the season. It was a very safe, we're going to not let anything get behind us, but, you know, teams were dinking and dunking us down the field. We know how to look. Then Raheem took over. Then we saw, again, a little bit more playmaking on the defensive side of the football. Hearing Jeff Olbrich say, yeah, what happened last year, we know ain't going to work, and we're going to switch it up a lot. You can't help but feel good about that, right?
Well, and not to go too deep into the weeds, and you know that I always fight this battle.
I know.
But I'm going to try to lay this out the way I think of it and the way I think what I think he's trying to say. So there's two different really ways of playing defense. Now, for a long time, a four-man front, the 4-3 that we talked about, 4-2 nickel, which is what you see mostly now, it's ripping into a gap and trying to get in the backfield and make a play in the backfield. And then when you started going to 3-4 fronts, what you try to do is you try to two-gap as a defensive lineman. You try to not get into the backfield, but use the offensive lineman's body to kind of skate down the line of scrimmage, really build a wall at the defensive line spot, really just kind of make it to where there's nowhere for the running back to go, and you can kind of bottle them up in the backfield. And really everybody in the NFL started running – everybody in college, definitely, everybody in the NFL to an extent, started running 3-4. And what we've wondered is, with the absence, we talked to Josh Kendall about it earlier, with the absence of an Eddie Goldman and a Grady Jarrett, what will this defense be?
Right.
Eddie Goldman was more of a 3-4 style nose, a guy that would build a wall, not trying to rip into the backfield and make a play in the backfield, but a guy who could build the wall on the defensive front, not get moved backwards. But you go away from that. And Grady Jarrett's in Chicago. Eddie Goldman's in Washington, I believe, right now.
Yep.
You weren't going to be built for that this year. So what really is going to be, you know, the things you're trying to get accomplished along the defensive front with a Rook, with a Brandon Dorlus, with a Morgan Fox? Sounds to me, instead of building that wall with the Eddie Goldmans of the world, that you're going to be ripping into the backfield and trying to create havoc with a four-man style front. Doesn't mean they'll always be in a four-man style front. Doesn't mean that'll be what they do on every single play. But it sounds like the mentality from a defensive front, from a defensive standpoint, in the seven-man box is going to be, let's force them to make bad decisions in the backfield. The downside is if you get in the backfield and you miss, there's a huge hole behind you.
Right.
But the upside is that you can really get back there and make some plays, and you can have quicker twitch bodies up front without having to hold the point of attack the way you attempted to do last year.
So with all that being said, let me ask you a follow-up. With the personnel and what you know about the personnel, and obviously we still got a long way to go, in training camp, but we still got to see what it all looks like when it all comes together on the field. But with what you know about the personnel, how do you feel if they are going to that play style that you just mentioned, being more aggressive and trying to get in the backfield and trying to make the offense make bad decisions when they get in the backfield, do you feel like that is a good strategy for Jeff Olbrich and this defense moving forward?
I think it's the only strategy right now,
okay,
to be honest, because of the personnel. Yep. And that's what Rook is good at. That's what Brandon Dorlus was good at. That's what you've drafted to be good at. You just didn't have the system to be able to do that last year, and you ended up going towards Eddie Goldman getting more snaps and Zach Harrison getting more snaps. Now, fresh bodies, young talent, this is the way forward, at least for right now, for what the Atlanta Falcons are trying to do.
There it is. So we will see, hopefully, a lot of Falcons getting into the backfield, a lot of tackles for loss. I want to see a lot of TFLs in the stat sheet. Hopefully, you know, we talked about this earlier, hopefully we see a lot of sacks on the sack stat sheet as well. All right, we got one more segment coming up. I was waiting on it. I was waiting for it. As soon as I said it, I was like, yep, he's going to do it. I was waiting on it. We got one more segment coming up here. We're going to close things out here live from Atlanta Falcons training camp here in the Flowery Branch. We will continue to tell you what went down on day four of Falcons training camp, day three of open practice. We'll continue to recap and react to what all went down today. And we'll also continue to let you hear from guys like Jake Matthews, Ryan Nosel, and Arthur Blank as well. We're coming back, and we're wrapping things up on the other side. It is your boy Dylan Matthews and Mikey P. Mike Johnson, former Atlanta Falcon, as we continue to broadcast live from Atlanta Falcons training camp. We'll be back to wrap it up right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I'm happy to be back with my teammates and, you know, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers, Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION, and Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the almost
you almost
up.
Did it. Hey, did you it. Almost made it all the way through.
I almost made it all the way through.
Golly,
man, I was so ready to say the hometown take. And there's been a couple of times where I stopped myself earlier today.
I thought you were going to say live in the Kia Studios a couple of times, but
I know it. I know
we're
it.
Not.
Man.
We're out here in the flesh.
We're out here live at Falcons training camp at Flowery Branch, and it is not the hometown take, but it is your boy Dylan Matthews alongside the former Atlanta Falcon, Mikey P, Mike Johnson, as we are getting ready to wrap things up here from Falcons training camp. Day four of Falcons training camp. It was the third open practice. Another great turnout as far as Falcons fans go. They filled up the hill again, and I have to believe they're going to continue to do that throughout training camp as well, especially when the pads come on, man. I can't wait for the pads to come on and get out here and see them with the pads on, because that is going to be a sight as well. I do have a couple of things we want to get into, obviously, as far as what happened today at Falcons training camp, and a couple of former Falcons stars were out here training camp. Matt Ryan was out here with the Ice Cubes. I saw the Falcons did post Matty Ice out here with the Ice Cubes. And Harry Douglas was out here, too. I saw him post on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and he was out here today, too. So a couple of former Falcons out here soaking it up and taking in Falcons training camp today, Mikey P.
Yeah, a couple of former teammates of mine, HD83, man.
Yeah.
Good dude. Love what Harry's been able to do. And you know, look, man, a lot of people talk about Julio Jones. A lot of people talk about Roddy White. The third member of that committee was always Harry Douglas and was able to do whatever he was asked to do. So, yeah, nice to have him back out here. He's grown to be kind of larger in the media presence than
Absolutely.
I guess maybe he was as a player, and, you know, finished his career up with the Tennessee Titans and was able to do some good things out of Louisville. I think he ended up getting about 9 or 10 years in his NFL career and was a guy who was always dependable in that. So, yeah, having him, Matt Ryan, out here. Like I talked about earlier, having Matt Ryan a part of anything that you're doing Atlanta Falcons-wise always brings a certain kind of flavor to what you're doing. And the leadership he always brought to this franchise is always a welcome component out here at practice.
Mike, I want to ask you something as far as practice goes today, because before practice, I asked you what you were looking for today. And you talked to me about wanting to see the offense make adjustments, because we heard yesterday about the defense and how the defense had a great day, how they were flying around. Jeff Oberg was sending blitzes, and, you know, they had the offense on their toes a little bit. Well, we had Abe Gordon on, who was our eyes and ears today as we were broadcasting. He was taking in practice, and you did get a chance to take in a little bit of it. But he was saying, Michael Penix Jr., bounce back day today. Drake London, who dropped some passes yesterday, was a little upset with himself yesterday. Bounce back day today.
Yep.
Does that make you feel good hearing that the offense had a good bounce back day? Does that make you feel good as far as, okay, you kind of got what you wanted as far as, all right, defense had a good day. What does the offense do to come back and adjust to that? And it sounds like they adjusted pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's hard for me to have any takeaways when they're not in pads. You know, especially when it came to yesterday's practice where, hey, you know, a couple of blitzers have gotten in the backfield. What are you supposed to do?
Right.
As an offensive lineman, when a guy blitzes, how far do you want to go to make sure he doesn't get in the backfield?
Right.
Because you're either going to hold him You know what I mean? Or eventually, if a blitzer wants to get in the backfield, they can. There's nothing you can do about it when you don't have pads on. You can't shoulder the guy or, you know, step up and hit him under the chin or anything like that. So it is what it is. But it's like I kind of explained off the top of practice. This is how camp goes. One group has install and installs wrinkles. The next day, the other group kind of responds to that. They install answers, blitz packages, things like that, coverages. That, hey, you know what? They're really doing nice on these seam routes. Let's install this kind of coverage, a Tampa 2 or whatever, you know, a cover 2 invert, whatever it may be. And then the offense goes back, watch the film the next day, and they go, oh, man, you know what? They installed cover 2, Tampa 2. Let's go run this route because it's a Tampa 2 beater. Let's run, you know, let's make sure we run this. So it's just it's a game of chess. I say it's not a game of chess. It's more like ping pong. It's just back and forth, man. Just back and forth. It's a game of tug of war throughout camp. And you really don't get any answers in terms of those things, in my opinion, until you strap the pads on, because then you know physically who actually is taking an upper hand and who's able to get things done. I'm waiting on that in terms of the secondary battles. I'm waiting on that in terms of the rotation in the front seven and really being able to rush the passer. So, yeah, man, it's there are takeaways. There are some. But you try to take every single takeaway in the first 3 days, first 4 days of practice with a grain of salt, because you really don't know what you're looking at and who's going harder and who's not.
There you go. So we'll continue to see again. Once the pads come on, like you said, you'll really be able to get an idea of, okay, what – is the defense maybe a little bit more ahead of the offense? Who's really out here making plays? Who's really going to be able to stand out? Because, again, you'll be able to do more things, see more things, and more things will become apparent as the pads come on. And so I believe the first padded practice is Tuesday, correct?
That's what I've been told. It is Tuesday, and, yeah, man, it only cranks up from there. That's when you start getting to the dog days as a player.
Ooh, that's when you start losing the 10, 11, 12 pounds on it for real, when you got all the pads on and all that
struggle,
good stuff. So
struggle bus.
Struggle bus will be real, as it's not getting any cooler either. But I do want to switch gears a little bit. It is your boy Dylan Matthews and Mike Johnson out here, former Atlanta Falcon, as we are hanging out with you. About to wrap things up here, coming up in a few minutes, taking you up until 1 o'clock, so got till the top of the hour. I want to switch gears a little bit because we haven't had a chance to get to any of this audio yet from Arthur Blank. He was on NFL Network yesterday, talked to Steve Weiss. It was actually really cool. Steve Weiss and Dave Archer, they actually did a live broadcast of Falcons training camp. I believe it was Friday.
It was Friday,
yes.
On AtlantaFalcons.com, yeah.
So that was good to see, and I kind of give because that practice was not open to fans, so it kind of gave a window, and it was a good broadcast. But Steve Weiss sat down with Falcons owner Arthur Blank yesterday, and this is one thing that, again, has continued to be a conversation. Not so much, thank goodness, a conversation anymore, but it's still a little bit of a conversation. That's Kirk Cousins. And I thought you and Bo had a good conversation. Actually, no, I was listening to Bo. He was on with John Freaky yesterday, and I thought Bo made a pretty good point as far as Kirk Cousins deserves some credit, and we're about to let you hear Arthur Blank give Kirk Cousins credit, but he gave Kirk Cousins credit about allowing Michael Penix Jr. to be the leader, allowing him to be the voice, because, of course, Kirk Cousins, he's been a starter most of his career, and he is used to being the guy that's the leader, that's the voice, and you know, the guy that's, you know, trying to rally the troops. And Bo made a good point that Kirk, you know, has done a good job of taking that step back and allowing Michael Penix Jr. to be that guy as QB1. And when you just talk about how Kirk Cousins has handled this whole situation, and, you know, we all have had our comments about how he handled his injury, you know, and what was said on the quarterback series and all of that. All that being said, though, at the end of the day, it feels like he has done a pretty good job of handling this situation with the most grace and the most professionalism, and we expected nothing less, but still, he does deserve some credit. So let's hear Arthur Blank talk about how, honestly, he's just proud of Kirk Cousins, the way he's handled this situation.
And I'm very proud of Kirk Cousins, too. I want to suggest that, because he's handled this transition really well and been very supportive of Michael, and really has been a really good teammate. So I'm happy about that, and I'm happy for us, and I'm happy for Kirk as well.
It's interesting, too, because, you know, we did hear this offseason that Kirk Cousins requested a meeting with Arthur Blank.
Yes.
He wanted to speak with him one-on-one, and he thought that, you know, we thought, or at least think still, that that conversation was about Kirk Cousins kind of pleading his case that he wants to be a starter, that he felt misled by the team, that he wants to be able to move on or possibly ask the team to cut him so that he can kind of move on with his stuff. But it's still tough.
Yeah.
And I've kind of taken this position all along of, I do think the Falcons, in a way, did Kirk Cousins wrong. It's not popular, I think, among a certain sector of Atlanta Falcons fans that look at it and go, oh, Kirk lied, Kirk did this, Kirk should have put the team first. It's just not how things work in the NFL. It's not, man. That team will cut you so fast. And having been a guy in that locker room and seen other players go through contract disputes or injuries or try to play through things and do other things, it's just not the way you go about your business. And it's an unfortunate reality of the locker room situations. I think Kirk Cousins is what he always has been in my eyes, and it's a good dude, an above-average quarterback, and somebody who is willing to step aside. And, you know, we heard the conversation on the Netflix docuseries about his wife was like, yeah, when I saw Kirk calling Michael Penix to tell him he was going to be the starter. And everybody kind of – I think there's – like I said, there's a certain sector of Atlanta Falcons fans that kind of roll their eyes. But you don't understand – it's a guy who's moved his entire family to Georgia. This is a guy who has taken the lumps really in front of the entire NFL, the entire United States or the world or whatever, in terms of his play fall-off last year and questions asked about him. So it is. I think it was important. And you heard Arthur Blank. He's just like, I want to make sure I get this in there. I want to make sure I talk about that because a lot of credit is due to him and the way he's gone about his business. And so I mark my words. And I'm not trying to jinx anything, but it just happens like this in the NFL. I think last year the number was 59, Dylan. 59 starting quarterbacks in the NFL last year.
Oh, no.
There will be a time, a game, a half, a quarter, where Kirk Cousins has to step in for the Atlanta Falcons, and everybody will be rooting for him at that time, and you'll be happy you have that guy at backup quarterback.
I don't know if this table is made out of wood or not, but I'm knocking on it.
I'm not looking towards anything catastrophic. I'm just saying. There's going to be a third down or a play or something. Somebody stubs their toe or you have to rely on Kirk Cousins this year and you're going to be happy he's there.
No, absolutely. And look, you are absolutely right. Keeping Kirk Cousins on the roster, you have, in my opinion, the best backup quarterback in the league. I mean, to me, there's really no debate about it. And so just having that as a net, like you said, doesn't have to be anything catastrophic, but what if Michael Penix tweaks his ankle, has to go get it taped up, and it takes a play or two for him to get it taped up, and you need Kirk Cousins to step in? And, you know, what if that's a second or third down play? You need him to throw a pass. It's not just as simple as handing off to Bijan. Or, you know, whatever else could happen, whatever the scenario is, like you said, it's going to be good to have a guy who is a veteran, who knows how to step into a situation and make the right decision. So, to me, that is an important thing. And, again, you can't go wrong with having Kirk Cousins as the backup QB. So, all the way here for that.
When it was tweeted out yesterday by multiple media sources that Kirk Cousins was having a great day and probably had the better day of the two quarterbacks yesterday, I felt a collective digital sigh from Falcons fans of like, ah.
Wow, here we go. This, right?
I'm telling you, man, listen to me. Be happy about it. You've got a good situation. Even if he never plays this year, even if you want him traded, the best thing that can happen is that he looks good in training camp. I promise you. Root for this guy. It's not that hard. Root for him, man.
Root for Big Kirko.
Let it flow through your veins. Let it feel good.
He can still be Kirko Chains. He can still have that nickname, even if he's not playing. We can still let Kirko Chains be Kirko Chains, so it's all good. But, look, it's been a great day here at Atlanta Falcons. Training camp was fun to get in front of the fans. Appreciate everybody that came through, said what's up to us, and shout out to the fans again for having another great turnout here. The hill was full again, and, man, again, we're starting to get that buzz, starting to get that feel. Mm. All these Falcons fans got that certain look in their eye, Mike, and they're ready for this Falcons team to put on a show and hopefully, again, break that playoff drought. And, man, I'm ready to talk about some winning Atlanta Falcons football because there is nothing better than winning Atlanta Falcons football here in the city of Atlanta, in the state of Georgia, and obviously here in Flowery Branch. So, look, we will both be back. Myself and Mikey P. Mike Johnson will be back tomorrow morning. I'll be with you on the Hometown Take Monday, obviously tomorrow, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. You can catch me on the Hometown Take every day, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. And you can catch Mikey P. Mike Johnson every day, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the morning shift with Bo Squid, Billy Morgan, and Allie Mack. And I put my 2 cents in there every now and again as well as the EP. So we'll both be back to talk to you tomorrow. Appreciate you tuning in. One more time, make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms. And follow Mike Johnson, the former Atlanta Falcon, at MPJohnson79 on all social media platforms as well. That is our time. Again, we've been live out here from Falcons training camp. Day four of practice, day three of open practice. It's been a good one. We'll talk to you both tomorrow, bright and early. Make sure you follow us on the Odyssey app as well. Until we talk to y'all next time, peace.